Off the ball.
Rugby.
Sport creates such community. Like for me, it really had a massive staple in my life and kind of gave me direction and, you know, that sense of belonging.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.
Right, welcome along. A big, big moving week in the hurling power rankings. We'll do them as we do them every Wednesday in the company of the king of the power rankings, Will O'Callaghan. Will, how are you doing?
I'm good. The Leinster Hurling Championship gives and gives, Mick.
It does, absolutely.
And the final weekend.
Tends to give a final, good final weekend anyway. And unusually for us here on the Power Rankings, everybody's in good form because Offaly won and Clare won and Rachel Sheehan's happiest when Cork aren't even playing.
Yeah, I heard the subtle dig made at me last week off air, Mico, and I wasn't even there to defend myself.
So, it was off air? How'd you hear it?
I've got ears everywhere.
Sources within the office.
I don't remember this.
The great news for Rachel now as well is later. It's like all these injuries are now starting to mount up a little bit for Cork as well. So Darragh Fitzgibbon's not going to play until the end of the Munster Championship. I believe Robbie O'Flynn is now out for a few weeks as well. And also we knew that Rob Downey hit the ankle injury. So I'm sure there will be an argument in a few minutes' time that Cork should be dropped despite the fact that they haven't played. That's what all the Cork fans want to do.
Yeah, that's the power ranking thing. Do you know what? I read the Darragh Fitzgibbon thing over a busy weekend and it just completely went from my head. Appendicitis, is it?
Mm, for yeah. Right, okay, 3 to 4 weeks, yeah.
So he'd miss a Munster final.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. That's not great, is it? They seem to be not just losing players, but losing big players. But sure, look, we'll see what they're made of, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I mean, you lose your three, you lose your six, you lose your captain.
Yeah.
Far from ideal. And effectively now, because of the results in the weekend just gone by, I'm sure we'll get into it, effectively a Munster semi-final this current weekend. This idea that Cork might rest players is now out the window.
Munster semi-final with a 4-point cushion.
Yeah. They're going to qualify anyway, but you don't want to end up in a position where you get knocked out on head-to-head, which is what could happen.
Oh, no, it won't.
No, because if they're not going to level with Cork at the top.
Yeah, but Limerick will also be on the same amount of points, won't they?
Assuming that they're Tipperary, yeah.
And therefore it goes to points difference between the three. So a Clare would need to win. I think they're 8 points behind, so a 5-point win for Clare would put them ahead of Cork.
You've done the maths already.
Oh,
I like it.
Be God, and they have. Yeah, absolutely. A 5-point win in Cork, no bother. Sure, we'll just we'll turn up and it'll be done. Like, yeah. Look, sure, through to the next round. We'll get to it in a minute. Before we do move on, though, if you do have any gripes with Will's selections, and there are obviously a change or two after what was a very, very busy weekend, you can please get in touch with us on Off the Ball WhatsApp. That's 087-9180-180. Or email us at enter@offtheball.com. So enter@offtheball.com. is our competition line where you can let us know what change you would make and why to the Power Rankings. Harvey Norman have very kindly given us tickets to give away for a lucky winner each week for a game in Croke Park. So if you want to go to the Leinster final, which as we'll talk about in a few minutes, could literally be any two of four at this stage, and we'll find out next week, do get in touch with your gripes. People love giving out, Will, so
sure
this is a good chance for them to turn that giving out into glorious tickets.
Into something constructive for once.
Okay, let's have a look at page two. Kildare remain at 11, a kind of a respectable 11. Wexford remain at 10, but would slip down if there were, you know, anywhere to slip down to. Offaly remain at 9. There's a bit of Yarrowism going on there, I think, after a second successive
win.
They
beat Wexford, who were sitting in 10th.
Waterford drop to 8. Kilkenny drop to 7. Remarkable. And Dublin. Rare enough you get a jump of 2 in an 11-team power ranking. Their win in Salt Hill over Galway is probably the big mover of the week. What did you think of this one, lads? I think I was talking to somebody on Friday night who would know Galway hurling pretty well, and I won't go into the details he used because he might publish it elsewhere, but or the expression he used, but basically is this Galway team have not yet been tested, and I would be very worried as to when they do. They're a young and inexperienced side, and Dublin kind of knew what they were doing going down to Salt Hill on Saturday, and that's not a place many teams get results. I have to say, I wasn't very impressed with Dublin in their win over Wexford. I was very impressed with them on Saturday.
Yeah, so one county has won in Salt Hill in the round robin section. That's Dublin. They've done it twice now.
Yeah.
So that just goes to how difficult it is to go and beat Galway away from home since this format came in. And the only previous team to do it were Dublin under Micheál Donoghue, the current Galway manager. So now Niall O'Callaghan and his team have matched that. I think it's an interesting point in this idea that maybe there's a slight soft underbelly on Galway, because obviously the two stellar results that they've had this season have to be tempered against the fact that Kilkenny have been disappointing. So the hammering that they handed Kilkenny in the league was their best performance throughout the entire league, and also the win that they got in the opening round in Salt Hill to kick off the Leinster Championship. We now wonder, where is Kilkenny's level? And maybe that determines this ever so slightly, because I thought watching the game before I went in to watch Offaly Wexford, from what I saw from Dublin, they were very well set up. They had a good structure. They were more than willing to go in and win the battles, and did so oftentimes, particularly early in the second half against that Galway team. Then took their chances, maybe a little bit of luck with the goal that obviously goes, you know, into the net from the free, which gives them a bit of a platform in the second half. But outside of that, it seems that they finished strongly. Bringing on their twin towers certainly worked to give themselves an effective ball in to challenge against that Galway team. And Galway did not have an answer to what Dublin had brought to play against them. So it's the first proper mark in the copybook against Galway that we've seen so far this year, whereby I thought they had a pretty constructive league, and it looked like they brought a lot of interesting young players in. They're obviously balancing the fact they've got an under 20 minor final coming up now in Leinster this week, and obviously the end of the round robin as well. The under 20 might become less of a concern if they don't go to an All-Ireland final. But now maybe we get to see what Galway are made of, and it's no longer... You know, we thought a couple of weeks ago they're 100% in the Leinster final. I still think that they'll beat Wexford, who have nothing to play for on the last day and qualify. But it's the first proper question mark we have with this Galway team now.
Yeah, and you would, if it does end up being a Dublin-Galway Leinster final, I think it's fairly open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd be leaning too far towards Galway. They could easily turn it around, of course. But I don't know, I think Dublin seem to have their number and have had over a couple of years in some ways. Like, yeah. Rachel, we talked a little bit about Liam Rush last week on the show, and just even just watching the game again on Saturday, like the difference in Dublin and how they're set up, as Will said, and just how hard they are to break down versus what was an incredibly leaky team for the Offaly game, for the Clare game in the league final.
Obviously the Cork semi-final last year.
Yeah, well, and that being could be their, you know, their most infamous performance, I'd say, of the team. And it does beg the question, I think, like, obviously Liam Rush has made a huge difference there, but there's almost a separate point here as, like, what's the real Dublin? Is it the one that beat Limerick where everybody thought it was brilliant, and then 2 weeks later you're kind of saying, oh, that was an off day for Limerick. Look at what Dublin really are. I think that you, I don't know if they were as bad as they were against Cork in the semi-final either, like, you know?
No, I think what we saw against Galway is definitely the real Dublin, and I think we'll obviously be moving on to Clare later on, Mick, but you spoke Conlon into existence by asking for a Liam Rush type figure from Clare.
Yeah.
And he's just come in and delivered from Dublin. I thought it was really interesting watching the football final yesterday, you know, before halftime, and they showed Conn O'Callaghan coming in before extra time, sorry, and giving advice and trying to like G up the players when he wasn't on the team. And then you just think of what the Dublin hurlers have now, in that Liam Rush is there, like that figure that you'd be looking for actually playing, as opposed to just being able to maybe come in and give some advice, and just the lift that it would give the team and security as a back, knowing that he's there, like skills, whatever he brings to the table, just that kind of communication can't be understated on the pitch, and just to give everyone else a little bit more of a belief, because you know, the worst thing you can have, I think, is, especially as a defender, is a little bit of nerves and not be going out thinking, I'm going to win this ball. But if you know that the likes of Liam Rush is behind you, maybe sweeping up that little ball that's going to break off, yeah, you're probably going to go more for it, you know, if you think he's going to be there sweeping up. So he not only is great there as the centre of defence, but just to give that belief to the defenders around him is unbelievable.
Definitely. Smith, a full back, has been a different hurler for the last 2 weeks as well. But yeah, it's interesting. Donald Burke is in good form. I think, you know, I don't know whether the whole thing of Hedgeo and Ronan Hayes is a thing that you bring off the bench and cause chaos when a team has been playing a certain way for 50 minutes and it's very hard to suddenly adjust, but
might depend the
they
team
looked very dangerous.
Might depend the team that you play against. Because I am, just because we probably won't get to talk about Offaly otherwise, is that I'm very much now on the Ben Keneally All-Star nomination tree now at the moment. I'm getting that campaign going. If you can start John Gonlan,
they'll be harmed by not being on TV for any of these games.
I would agree. Now, I've been there watching them, so I can attest to the fact that Ben Keneally's been really well.
Panel won't, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was, again, excellent against Wexford the weekend just gone by. And then when you just mention Hedgeo, like, when he started in that game against Offaly, he was really well contained by Ben Keneally. Keneally did a really good job on TJ Reid. So maybe there is the argument if you want to do something totally different, they have that option of putting in two good ball winners into their inside forward line. It's pretty unique because now the bear in the square has very much come back into fashion in the last 12 months and having a more direct out ball. And I always thought that Dublin from the start had that. It's intriguing to see when maybe a game gets slightly stretched or if Dublin need to maybe push it on a little bit, that they actually have that option of bringing both of them in, because bringing Hayes on obviously paid off in the weekend just gone by as well.
Yeah. I do like as well that Dublin seem to just have a lot more options than they used to. They were always a top-heavy team. You needed the likes of, back in the day, Danny Sutcliffe or Paul Ryan to have big, big games for Dublin to try. If you look at it now, I thought Keane O'Sullivan was kind of quiet at the weekend. You know, he did okay. He had a couple of good moments, but he wasn't the dominant self that won an All-Star last year. And that's grand because they still have enough weapons everywhere else to manage it. You mentioned Offaly there. We should set up what's going to be an amazing final week in Leinster while we're at it, because we're going to talk about Munster and Waterford before we leave page two, and then we'll get on to the other Munster teams in page one. But 6 versus 7 is going to, in your power rankings, on Sunday, 2 o'clock, Parnell Park, Dublin and Kilkenny. Dublin have a thing over Galway, and they've a thing over Wexford, as we know. They, as we mentioned last week, do not have that thing with Kilkenny. They have beaten them in 2013, and that's about it, really, in the modern era. Mm-hmm. They have to get the job done this week, I think, for loads of reasons, to make a Leinster final, but also to knock Kilkenny out. You have to assume that Offaly are going to beat Kildare with their current form, and the fact that they did back it up by beating Wexford this week. It's in Newbridge, it won't be easy, but I think they'll win. And if they do, and Dublin beat Kilkenny, it's bye-bye Kilkenny. So, you know, they took care of business against Kildare this week, so it's not like the week to be talking them down or anything like that, but what an unbelievable situation that would be. And it's now looking, it's not to say that it will happen, but it's probably looking more likely than unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, what an opportunity. So this is the game on TV at 2 o'clock on Sunday as well. They've understandably picked this one because there's so much at stake, where who would have thought, you know, Kilkenny, with their dominance in the province over the last 6 years, that they would end up in a situation where they badly need a result away from home against a team who are in quite good form in Dublin. And, like, Kilkenny's form has been indifferent. Okay, they relegated Kildare at the weekend, but made hard work of it at different times in that game in Nolan Park. It was just following the scores along during it, eventually pulled away and won the game. They do have a superior scoring different situation with Offaly if they were to end up in a tie of points at the top, but that seems unlikely that you're going to again have the draws playing into it that would actually happen. But yeah, basically from Kilkenny's point of view, it's win or bust when it comes to Parnell Park this coming weekend. Generally, as you say, they've had the Indian sign over Dublin, and I remember a couple of seasons ago when they went to Parnell Park, we wondered if Kilkenny would produce a performance, and they did. Yeah, and they were really good in the second half of that
game. And
Dublin
were poor in that game as well. There was it was a big score, wasn't it? It was like a 30 point game or something like that, I'm not sure, but I remember just a lot of you know, seeing the church a lot in Parnell Park as TJ and the boys just knocked them over. And I remember being very disappointed with Dublin. So,
and then you recall they played
Leinster
final. It's
such a big test for Dublin as much as it is for Kilkenny this time, I think.
Big time. Because I was just thinking a couple of weeks later, as you might recall, Dublin went and beat Galway and then got to a Leinster final. Yeah. And then Kilkenny out-hurled them completely in the Leinster final itself. And you wondered at that point whether maybe we got a false impression of Dublin, that maybe that was Galway's deficiencies when it came to that game that Dublin won in. In this case, now Dublin can back up what they've done so far in the Championship. And I think, like, realistically, they probably hurled a little bit within themselves in the first game against Offaly. After that, they got the points that were expected against both Kildare and Wexford. You win the game against Galway, they've put themselves in this really strong position to qualify. And if you're Dublin, why would you not want to knock Kilkenny out of the Championship? Someone sent me a tweet joking at the weekend. It was the Kevin Keegan meme, which was, they have to go up to Parnell Park and get a result, and I'd love it if Dublin could do them. That's exactly where I'm at. I'm a Dublin fan for this weekend. Offaly had on one hand, Dublin on the other. This is a great opportunity for them to knock out Kilkenny. I think for Dublin as well, this would be a breakthrough moment if they were to knock Kilkenny out of the Championship. Like, psychologically, it would be massive.
Absolutely. What's your 1-2-3 in Leinster then, Rachel?
1-2-3.
Not Galway. Power rankings, but the finish
who
next week.
Who qualifies?
Galway definitely. Galway coming up on top. The fact that Adrian Mullen came back for Kilkenny's weekend can't be understated. He scored a point. He's been out for so long, that horrific thumb injury. If he is able to start against Dublin, I think there'd be a bit of a different beast. And, you know, Rory Hayes was able to get 1-2 off the bench, but Kilkenny will have that number now. You know, I don't think they'll get as much joy from Heatherton and Hayes as they did at the weekend, but bit of bias, maybe. Will I see Dublin beating Kilkenny? Yeah.
So you do. That'll put Dublin on top then. So Dublin, Galway, with Offaly coming through. It'd be funny. It'd be some story, I think, if Kilkenny were to be knocked out. It'd be interesting to see what happens on the other side, Dan. And it is so funny seeing Kilkenny and the Dublin footballers just seemingly going through the same thing at the same time.
Do you know what? There's always this kind of mantra that you don't have Kilkenny beaten until the bus is actually pulled out of the ground after the game, because generally they will find a way to get a result. Like, I think back's against the wall, I kind of back Kilkenny to get a result at the weekend.
Fair enough, yeah. I can understand it until Dublin beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, we always think this about teams, oftentimes when they're on the way down. We think that a team that has been so successful for so long, they will just find a way. And then you start to appreciate, well, look, it's been over 10 years now since Kilkenny have lifted the Lee McCarthy. Definitely their level has come down in recent seasons. And then I've always said this year, well, you know what, there's a block shot off the line from them getting to an All-Ireland final last season. But have they really got back to those heights at any stage this year that they were at, say...
Block scoreboard.
Or the scoreboard itself. But, you know, like the block that Doyle makes on the line makes all the difference, really. Like, if Kilkenny really got back to that level this season, they haven't. And maybe the warning sign is there, what happened with Tipperary and Clare, which we'll get to in a moment, which is that Tipperary's season never really ignited. And I keep on expecting Kilkenny to bring it to another level. And I thought maybe the Wexford game was that game where they got out of their system. But then, you know, they flattered to deceive a little bit in the game after that. So I don't know. Do Kilkenny put in their typical performance against Dublin? We sit here in the power rankings next week and go, do you know what? Actually, we overstated where Kilkenny were at. Here they are now going into the knockout stages at least, and Kilkenny will build their season from here. I just have a feeling they'll get it done, but I love the incentive that Dublin have to knock them out this weekend.
Yeah, agreed. It's going to be fascinating. It is really the main event next week. Everything in Munster is only to play for positioning, really, and for Munster finals. But before we leave page two, I want to do the Harvey Norman stat of the week. And I've actually gone for something this week that's a fairly well-known stat. It's not like, just because it's not a mad stat picked out of nowhere doesn't mean it's not the most interesting one. And it is, after another winless season, Waterford have won just 4 games out of 28 in the Munster round-robin series since it began in 2018, never qualifying in the top 3 of 5. The round robin started in 2018 on the back of Waterford's best season in modern history. They were in the All-Ireland final against Galway, had some unbelievable performances that year.
Brilliant.
Obviously, the
semi-final
against Cork was one of the most memorable games in their history. You know, in 2016, they had Austin Gleeson's Hurler of the Year. They beat Kilkenny for the first time since the 1950s. You know, there was so much going for them. And then this round robin started and it all just kind of has come apart. Obviously, in the couple of years in between, in 2020, they did make an All-Ireland final. In 2021, they were knocked out in the first round of Munster. So it's not as if it was the knockout is all that they need. It's just a very interesting stat to me, because I wouldn't mind a conversation based on what a lot of the people involved in the management team and certainly a lot of pundits like John Milan are talking about in terms of finding a way for Waterford to play hurling in July. We don't want to lose Waterford. We don't want it to be something that, you know, the game is lost down there, or they're not a top force anymore. But I do think they haven't got the job done and they haven't won the games, and they've had the opportunity there every year. And at some point we have to look internally rather than constantly
reform.
Be talking about the GEA saving them.
Yeah.
Well, how do we organise a world where the All-Ireland final is played in July, but so are Waterford? I really don't know.
There's only one way. You play the provincials as a knockout as opposed to a round robin, and you create a round robin on the far side. So the teams who have played in the provincial championship still get to play in a round robin, and so therefore you basically shift the games the other side of the provincials. You keep the provincial championships, which still have their value, but you drop the round robin format. I think we're a bit away from that. I think Munster becomes a double-edged sword, Mick, whereby it's this incredible championship right now, which is one of the jewels in the crown for the GAA. It's brilliantly competitive. Like, Waterford have been pretty good in all the games and still get knocked out. And on the other hand, obviously, you're eliminating two teams who are probably still within the top 5 or 6 in the country by the end of it, because that is the reality of it. Because if only 3 teams can qualify, you're going to jettison 2 decent teams very early on because of the structure of the championship now. The only other way is you create a crisscross championship with the teams from Munster and the rest of Ireland playing after the provincials. That's the only way.
Does the time of year you play matter, though? Because, like, they're still getting 4 games in Munster, Rachel. Like, it's not like it's the old knockout system and you're left behind and you have to go away for another 11 months. Like, 4 games is a lot. It's a good old sample size to be able to see if you're good enough to go on to the next level. Like,
It is, and that's what makes the Munster Hurling Championship what it is. I think, you know, we're not going to talk about it with as much fever if there isn't as much jeopardy on the line. And Peter Queeley spoke to Off the Ball after the game the last day, saying it's such a pity, you know, girls and boys across Waterford are going to be watching the Soccer World Cup this summer instead of watching their local Waterford hurlers playing. But like you said, it's, well, get there, you know, get to the Munster final, get further on if you want the kids to be able to look up to them. And it's so unlucky for them because they've had such close calls. I know you say like the scoreline never actually reflects the match. If you could just go back and look at it, you'd say they probably deserve to be there a lot of the time. But if you want to be playing summer hurling, you have to be playing a little bit better. And I know you mentioned as well, like putting the hurlies away in May, and I don't think they play any better if it's July or August. You know, it'll probably be a lot more enjoyable than hacking around in the weather we've had recently, but it would take a lot of the excitement away, I think. If it's easy for me to say, you know, we've been involved for the last couple of years, but it would take a lot of the excitement around the Munster Championship away.
Yeah, you get four group games off the back of playing seven games in the league, so you get a meaningful 11-game season, effectively, to get to a peak not too far after the league to try and be as good a Munster as you possibly can. Like, it's difficult on the face of that to have sympathy for it. I think the sympathy comes from the fact that, obviously, the teams in Munster are heavily top-loaded because of where they are based on some of the teams in Leinster.
Sorry, that's 100% the case for Waterford. I'm not saying, oh, it's their own fault, get your house in order. I'm sort of saying that if they're playing in Munster, which I presume they want to still do, I don't know about take. I think it's a really good championship and it's great, and Waterford will have their moment as well. Do you know what I mean? I think we can be all like looking at this and saying, oh, it's the 18th of May and what is it? But they've had a good, like, it's been a good couple of months. Like, do you know what I mean? And they were good this year.
I thought their moment was going to be yesterday.
But they played. I didn't. I never thought. No.
I
did you
50,
really think so?
Yeah.
No, I just thought Limerick always had more in the tank, I would say, over the course of that game.
I thought they had in the tank, but it was 15-10. I kind of thought before the goals went in, I thought Waterford might find a way. I was starting to think, here's Waterford without their best player. They're rallying. And obviously they know that they're fighting for their lives, and I actually thought there was going to be a stronger last 15 minutes than they were. They obviously will talk about the goals and the situation around them, because Peter Queeley and Dan Shannon weren't happy about the goals, but I kind of thought there was going to be more in them at the end, because there's been a kick in Waterford in most of the games.
Yeah, no, absolutely there has been. And look, I thought they were very good in Ennis. I didn't think they deserved to win that game. I thought it would have been a mad smash and grab, like, you know what I mean, if they had. And fair play to them, they put themselves into that position, and Bennett was obviously amazing. He was obviously incredible against Tip. But I thought, like, you know, on the balance of play, they were lucky to get a draw out of that game as well. Mm-hmm. Cork beat them easily enough. And I thought that Limerick were probably... Limerick probably didn't put in as good a performance as them yesterday. But again, watching it, I just felt like they always had enough in the tank. So you're kind of categorically the fifth best team in Munster then. Now, where I do feel sorry for them is, you're in a province that Cork are always going to be good. Limerick now are probably at the stage where we have to look at them always being good.
Mm-hmm.
Tip might not always have good seasons, but they're always going to be not far away from it being. And Clare, more and more, are kind of reaching that level. Like, it's very, I think it's like, you know, kind of 09 to 11 is probably the only really poor Clare team we've seen in the last 3 decades.
Yep. And last year aside, you can set your watch to the round robin era.
And even last year aside, exactly. They're so good in the round robin. And even last year aside, it was like a little bit of a flaw. You're going to lose out in Munster some years.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, they played brilliantly in Ennis against Tip after a calamitous performance in the first half. You know what I mean? They beat Limerick in the last day. Who knows if they would have, if that meant anything or not. And so on, you know. So it's like Clare are probably at that thing. So suddenly you're just looking at, Jesus, if we were in there with Galway and Kilkenny, would we be giving Dublin and Wexford and now Offaly a run for their money every year? And you kind of think they would, and you'd probably think they'd be getting to Leinster finals, like, from time to time. So that's where but is that just a geography thing? Is that something that can be fixed? Is that something that just happens for a few years here and there? I don't know if I'd be throwing it all out, is my point.
Yeah, you'd have to have a bit of sympathy for them as well, because we talk about momentum so much being such a big thing, and because they don't get out of Munster, they don't get a chance to build that momentum that we might see now, the likes of Dublin or Offaly allowing them to do that. And, you know, they do a smash and grab against Kilkenny at the weekend, and Dublin are all of a sudden on a high, whereas Waterford mightn't be getting that chance. So, yeah, you would feel a little bit of sympathy for them. But yeah, why do you make the decision? Is it, oh, it's been going on for X amount of years, now we need to change it? Or all of a sudden then a new crop of Waterford players comes up in 4 or 5 years' time, and you're like, right, we need to revert this back again. So it's a really tricky one to know what defines needing to move a team out of a province.
The provincials will only change for one reason, is if the sparkle goes off them because of fatigue. The people get too used to it, and maybe they get a bit bored about it. And then people will go, ah, let's give it another go, and let's go with two big groups. We've gone through so many, I can think, in like living lifetime since they changed around, even since the back door came in, the amount of times they've changed to a mini group before a group, play a group before the provincials themselves, go back to provincial knockouts, let's have two big groups, let's have two mini groups, let's change the amount of teams in the championship. They've tried all of these different things along the way. And I think for the best part, they've happened upon a good system at the moment where you're guaranteed home and away games in a really good province in Munster. I don't think anyone's going to be keen to try and change the provincials around for the sake of giving Waterford a better chance to go further into the
year. And they'll find a way as well. That's the other thing. Like they will. Like it's a good hurling county with lots of good players. They put in good performances this year. But I'm sorry, let's go back to the stat of the week to finish it. 4 wins out of 28. Now they have had 3 draws in there as well. Like so, it's right. So 7 out of 28 games that they haven't been beaten. That's 1 in every 4.
They did have the construction at Walsh
they
Park.
They could be a bit better than that. They could be a bit better than that. Like, you know, regardless of the strength of schedule and so on, as they would say in the NFL. Let's go to page one. It's going to be some Munster talk. Tip are doing well to hang on at 5, I would say. I wonder, are the Dubs looking at that, or, you know, the ones underneath like Tip? Really an astonishing bad defence of their championship. I think even we talked about Clare's last year, and again, Clare had a weird performance against Cork that they showed a lot of fight and came back and got a draw in that game that could have even been a win. They absolutely didn't show up against Waterford the following week. Tip again threw the game away, came back into it, nearly did enough, and then bet Limerick. Tip haven't done any of that. Like, they haven't even had the sparkle, they haven't had the moment. Maybe the last few minutes against Cork, Rachel, you talked about that, but we were looking at that from a Cork perspective really, because Tip didn't look like they were showing enough that day, and you were concerned that, you know, that Tip let them back in. But they were so bad. I was talking to someone who wasn't able to watch the match, and it was like, I was, you know, Clare were good though, and I was like, look, Clare did everything I wanted them to do. I was really happy with how they showed up, the pitch of the game. You mentioned Conlon and the shape of them, and like Tip didn't score a goal in that game, which you would have thought was a miracle from Clare's point of view. But I was like, but grand. That gives me a little bit of hope. I have to see it next day. But I can't emphasise enough to you how bad Tip were. I don't think one player played well. You know, I don't say that with like any glee. If you're talking to me on Saturday night, I'm talking as a fan. But right now I'm just talking to you like as a hurling fan. Like, Tip were shocking. And Liam Cattle spoke very well afterwards and all, Rachel. And like, you know, you kind of immediately kind of come back to the human side of it. And you think like, this is a group that won the All-Ireland last year. And you give them time to group. But there's another part of me that just goes, how could it have been so bad?
Yeah, and it's interesting you talk about Cahill's comments after, because he spoke so much about bravery, that they weren't brave enough on the ball, that they didn't hurl in a manly way, and that they were afraid to go for the ball, and they kind of curled into themselves, which is the last thing you're going to expect from the All-Ireland champions when, you know, shit is hitting the fan and Clare are coming to town. I was shocked. Even it felt like the game was on in Ennis. Like the Clare crowd straight away got behind them so much, and it almost felt like the Tip fans were a little bit stunned at the performance. To be fair, I thought Jake Morris actually did fairly well in the second half. Like, he made as many runs as he could to try and drag them back into it. That was fair. One of the standouts for them, but yeah, like you said, as good as Clare were, Tip were just really poor, and they didn't seem to have any answer for it. Like, there were at least three or four Clare players around every Tip player, and that was never happening on the other side. And you can never say, oh, it was a lack of want, because obviously these players want, and if this was 2 weeks ago, we would have been saying that about the Clare team against Limerick. So it's so hard to put your finger on what goes that wrong for a team when it looks like it's in the motivation side of things.
That's a really good point. This can happen in a game. It can get away from you. It could just be gone by the time you wake up if you're not at that pitch. But I suppose, you know, Clare had their slip, and they did that against Limerick, but this was do or die for Tip, you know? And it was do or die for both of them, and one of them kind of were there and one of them just weren't. And Tip have already had their kind of sauntering through the season games. Like, so they really should have been there this week, but I completely agree with you. there's just the crowd even seems zapped by it from an early stage. Like,
so I watched the game afterwards, so I was obviously aware of the result and what had happened before I watched it. So sometimes that does affect how you watch it sometimes, but I've been told by people, so I raced across to an event in Mullingar after the match, and I was talking to Michael Ryan, the former Waterford manager, and he'd been in the bar watching the game, and he said he was shocked by how Tipperary were getting out-hassled, out-fought on their home ground as All-Ireland champions and found themselves in that position. Because when I arrived, I saw that they were down by double digits in the game, and I'm thinking, how have Tipperary ended up in this scenario?
Whereby a strong wind in the first half, but
fair enough,
Clare knew what they were doing in the second, and the Tip had no answers.
Like, and you know, like, it seemed, and at the time it felt as if Clare had basically got themselves into a position in the game where they were almost managing out the second half. And when I watched it, I just thought, right, I was so surprised by the lack of fight that was there from Tipperary. I spoke to some Tipperary friends of mine on Sunday afterwards to try and, you know, what's your reflection on where they've got here? Because, like Liam Cahill said afterwards, he said it's almost impossible to work out what's gone wrong. That's the way this year has gone. And they felt that it was almost a case of, you used the word, kind of sauntering. It felt like they worked their way through the league a little bit. And as All-Ireland champions, you almost give them that respect that, they're going to get it right. They're going to find it. And then at no point did they feel like the season was actually turning for them. And then for those first few games in Munster, I was almost making excuses for them here in this very chair, going, do you know what? When that Clare game comes around, Tipperary are going to be dialed in. Like, they've got a little break before it. We saw the way that Clare had hurled against Limerick. I thought they looked porous. I thought the Clare were going to be in trouble. And the next thing, Tipperary go into that game and they allowed Clare to show a response, to give Clare full credit based on what happened the week before. But I was so, so disappointed in the way that Tipperary hurled at the weekend just gone by. Like, what a limp way to lose your championship. Because there's no way you're thinking that Waterford are going to beat Limerick and then also for Tipperary to go and beat Limerick in the last round. They knew this was do or die. They knew that this was basically win, you're through, lose, you're out. Yeah. And Tip were so, so bad.
Really bad.
It almost seemed like a disadvantage to them that they didn't ever have a really bad performance. At least when Clare lost so badly to Limerick, they probably had to sit down and start again. Point, whereas Tip did just look, and like you were saying, Mick, I was so afraid of what Tip would show up every week, because it looked like it was coming. Like, it wasn't like they were shocking. They just needed one or two things to fall into place. So maybe that was just a real disadvantage for them, that it was just mediocre instead of having an absolute stinker and being able to go, right, something here actually isn't working that we need to change.
Yeah. In terms of the rest of it then, you've dropped Galway down to four and bumped Clare up to three. And funny enough, I have to say, watching the two games back to back, like, Galway really had a poor performance. But there was a moment where I'm like, there really is only three teams this year that could do anything. And whether that's two or three is TBC.
Oh, are they in the right order on the power rankings, Michael? That's the most important thing.
Well, that's, I suppose, we're stuck with whether you want to. I don't think you saw enough in Limerick. I think that's probably fair to say. Without going into it, we'll talk about that. You taught Waterford a chance. We're going to talk about the Hawkeye moment of the week being the missed refereeing decision for one of the Limerick goals. We can get into that now in a second. But what I was going to say, though, was Clare showed me enough to know that, right, they could be that team again. Maybe their performance against Limerick was the Limerick performance against Cork, or the Cork performance against Limerick last year in the round robin. And there's more to it. They looked a lot more settled in defence. The changes that Lowen made, in fairness, worked. They were smart changes. Darrell Owen had his best game for Clare in the full back line. I think that's where he has to stay from now on.
I think so too.
Davy Mack looked like a bit of a new lease of life there. He hasn't played the full back line in years, really. And the whole thing just seemed to make sense in a way it hasn't again.
They look way more solid.
But now we have to judge them against a team who are going to actually be there at 100%. That was half a training game at times. So Clare could be that. But I was more kind of convinced that maybe Galway aren't. You know what I mean? So it's like, we know that there's Limerick and we know there's Limerick and Cork. It's not to say Galway can't go on a run or anything like that, but I'm not sure the overall quality is there. I don't know if the stars are there. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, grand, you have one or two that can still do it. Are any of the young lads going to turn it on in the way that, like, a Dermot Stritch did the other night or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the big thing from Clare's point of view. And I won't dwell on this too much, but the big thing you take away is Dermot Stritch, superstar, 6 points. Sean Rinn, for the second out of three games, got 5 points, I think. 4 or 5, anyway, from play. And you had the likes of Niall O'Farrell's at a tough time, and they stuck with him, and he moved to wing back, and I thought was brilliant at the weekend, you know. And it's like, right, do you know, TK was quiet, Shane O'Donnell was quiet, it's the young lads that were doing the job here. And it's like, wow, okay, that's what we need, because we're talking about Last Dance a lot, you know, for Clare. And it's like, well, if they can bring on three or four over that course of time.
And you watched her under-20s midweek last week, which I think a lot of people did.
Look, let's say it gave us all a bit of a lift.
Lohan said it after the game. He said that they went to train and kind of bouncing themselves, the senior panel, on Thursday after sitting down and watching that penalty shootout on the telly the night before. So you can't help but take energy from that.
Yeah.
We were wondering what kind of impact it was going to have because of player involvement, but actually just the fact that Clare won seems to have been a massive, massive boost.
But I ask you for a county story of the week every week, and what you've come up with for this has bucks the trends somewhat of what I'm saying, because the oldest man on the Clare team came back in.
Yeah.
By the way, can I just say one thing, actually? The town and club of Clonlara are not getting enough credit for what happened this week, because super sub Ian Galvin came on and absolutely destroyed Tipperary at the weekend. You have young Dermot Stritch, the next superstar of hurling from the town of Clonlara, coming on and absolutely dominating. And you have the old-timer in John Conlon popping in there, back in at centre back, missing a finger, whatever. It doesn't mean anything to him.
The finger's reattached now.
He's a big old glove on him. His best performance, I would say, in a Clare jersey in 3-4 years.
Since the wedding game, maybe? Do you remember the one where it was like he was heading back to the wedding after the Limerick, and he was just, he hurled all before him that night in the Gaelic grounds?
Limerick in the Gaelic grounds?
Yeah,
that's 3 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's probably up there with that good a performance.
I thought he was outstanding. And for him to come back this year and kind of come back, and we wondered whether there was anything left in the legs, given we didn't really see him in those first two games. There definitely is.
I think so. I think it's got to the point now where, like Rachel was saying earlier, where like Liam Rush has now become the undisputed six for Dublin. You see who he comes in and the influence he has around the players around him. You see what happened in the weekend just gone by. I think if you want a soldier to be holding that defence together for Páirc Uí Chaoimh this coming weekend, you want it to be John Conlon right at the heart of it. And if they go deeper into the year, I think he's going to become more and more and more important as well. So there is life in the old dog as we're trying to retire some of these guys and we're watching the young guns coming in. I know you were very impressed by him as well, Rachel. Like I thought he was excellent. I thought he was exactly what Clare needed. And I hate to give Mick any type of credit here, but he did say that last week. He was like, Conlon has to start in Semple Stadium.
Yeah, he was immense. And you could see even the first one or two balls he got, like puck and long, he didn't even look as assured hitting them, but he grew into the game. Like he was clearing up all around him, but his delivery at the start, he almost looked to hesitate the first one or two. And then after that, he was just, there was nothing that was going near him that he wasn't cleaning up and delivery and assisting. But I have to give a shout out as well to Ian Galvin, because when Rodgers got that hit, David Fitzgerald came in and he got a yellow. And when Rodgers comes back on for the full substitution, Galvin's brought in instead of Fitzgerald. And you have to wonder, is it because he got a yellow? And Galvin comes in then and just completely changes the game. I think that was a really sliding doors moment. Like if Fitzgerald doesn't get a yellow, surely he's probably brought back in as the permanent substitution for Rodgers. And as well as if he got 1-2, Galvin, he just looked like when you're a defender coming out, you wanted to be given the ball to him because everything was sticking for him. I know he hit 5 wides as well, which he did, probably won't be best pleased.
Clare's wides were shocking. I was going to do the stat of the week on whether they had more wides than Tip had points, but decided to go for the Waterford one instead. I think Tip have a few more points, but
That breeze, it was so difficult. Every manager, even the Munster friend for the Camogie was on beforehand as well, and everyone spoke about it. It was so hard to judge. It was strong, but it was also even really difficult to play with. So yeah, if Stritch hadn't had the game of his life, I think Galvin would have been in the running for it as well.
And look, Ian Galvin scored the goal to beat Tip in Thurles and to knock them out in 2018, and he loves the place, you know what I mean? And some players just have a ground like that where they can just go and turn it on. They'd always be trying to play or bring on Ian Galvin early in Thurles. I saw John Conlon play in the under-21 All-Ireland final in Croke Park for some reason in 2009.
Wow.
Up against Richie Hogan, scored about 15 points that day on a losing team for Kilkenny.
Whatever came
Conlon, right half forward, is where he won the All-Ireland in 2013 before going in, winning an All-Star at full forward in 2018. I always remember him, the brilliant Clare-Galway drawn game in the semi-final. It was a game that Conlon, I think, scored 6 points from play. And Doughty Burke was so good on him that they both won an All-Star for that performance.
That's right.
It was like outstanding. That was one of the best individual battles I've ever seen. And then he goes back centre-back and has this whole next era of his career. Like it's a phenomenal story, really. And given, you know, the fact that he had to have like incredibly gruesome surgery on his finger just earlier this year, and for him to come back at the age he is. County story of the week.
Doing a bit of coaching already. I think he's going to be a good coach. I think by the end of this, he's been helping out his dad with some of the coaching around Clonlara as well. So, I think there's a long summer in John Conlon yet.
We have to go. Tell us why Limerick's goal and the Hawkeye moment of the week, which is our close call that the whole country's talking about, was the referee missing the drop hurley by Aidan O'Connor.
So I don't think that Aidan O'Connor deliberately drops the hurl, by the way, before he makes the hand pass. I think he actually goes to try and switch hands and the hurley drops.
And is that a foul?
It's a foul,
if you do it accidentally.
Yeah, technical foul. Okay. Dropped hurley, can't do it. It's a free out. Should have been picked up. I thought it was very clear. It was right in front of the referee. Obviously leads to the hand pass, which is a mishit shot that eventually happens to Garrod Hegarty that finds his way past Billy Nolan and into the net. And it was one of those crucial moments, that second goal, round about the hour mark, that pretty much killed Walter.
And it was, for anyone who wasn't watching, it was about 45 seconds after their first goal.
Yeah, no, it was such a killer double.
59 seconds
was
it? To the second, I think, maybe.
Wow.
I thought Jamie Barron's reaction, we talked about reactions last week when it came to the Hawkeye moment, Barron was so clear. He turned around to the officials like, how have you not spotted that he's dropped the hurl just before he makes the hand pass? I mean, to me, it was really, really clear. I think it was like a generally decent refereeing performance outside of that. And I think the way Peter Queeley put it when he spoke to Stephen Gleeson off the ball yesterday was, I thought he was great for 55 minutes and he'll have to reflect on the last 15. So,
but if you're in the camp, as Will is, I don't know if you are, Rachel, that Waterford had a real chance in that game and could have actually won it. That second goal was the killer. It was over after that. But it probably only put them about 5 points up. Yeah. But it just felt like momentum was gone. That first goal, they probably could have come back from, and it was still a game at that stage. The two goals in a minute, it was up. So it was definitely a huge point in the match. It was like, it could not have been a bigger moment. But for me, it doesn't feel as big because, again, just watching it, I just felt Limerick were going to tip away, and have enough in them at the end.
I'd be the exact same, Mick. Like, they did go on to score 9 points in a row after that goal. Like, the last score Waterford got was that penalty, and before that it was Ozzy Gleeson's sideline. So yeah, big complaint. It shouldn't have happened, and it probably did take the wind out of their sails a little bit. But I mean, if you're fighting for your life in the Munster Championship and you still have about 10 minutes to play, you can't be complaining that you lost out on that goal. I know it's not fair, and there's no way that Aidan O'Connor is able to get that hand pass away at the angle that he does with his left hand. Like, he needs to use his right hand to get it on the money over to Hegarty. So if he's blown for it, there's no way that goal stands. But they had enough time. It's not like it was the last minute or two and they didn't have any time to fix it after that. They still had ample opportunity. So I agree with you. It definitely should have been a free out, but I don't think it was as much of a turning point as you will.
I hate how undisagreeable that is. Like, I think it was 122-22 at the point that the ball hits the net when Hegarty puts it in. So obviously,
it went from three. Okay, yeah.
Well, I think, yeah, it went down from three to six. I think someone else will correct me probably in the comments.
That is right, actually. Yeah, yeah. I had it as 2-5, but it was 3-6 because when you said the scoreline there, it rang a bell. Okay, great stuff. Thanks a million. We didn't talk about Cork all that much. They're sitting there pretty at number one.
Limerick didn't do enough
to knock them off. We'll see what happens at Pádraig Cuíve this weekend. Again, Munster almost kind of second fiddle a little bit this week. We know who the three are coming out, but
jockeying for position. I still think Munster final is important. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think to all three teams, it's a really big deal. But I do think Clare will just have that little bit of relief, I think. So whether that frees them up going down to Cork against the cold Cork with loads of injuries, or whether it just means we've put everything in. We'll see. We'll wait and see. But again, the Power Rankings on Off the Ball are with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA. And again, just a reminder, as we said at the top of the show, if you disagree with any of Will's selections, you can get in touch with us on the Off the Ball WhatsApp 087-9180-180 or email at enter@offtheball.com. Let us know what you would change and why. And we've got tickets, thanks to Harvey Norman, for Croke Park for the Leinster final to give away. So we will announce that over the coming days, and we'll be back with you next Wednesday.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.